Good morning and happy Sabbath.
Good
morning. I want to welcome all of you. Glad that you are here. Anybody here for the first time in this building? Anybody for the first time? Welcome. Thank you so much. We'd like to welcome you in a very special way that you are an honorable guest. And God is good that you are. How did you find this place, my brother? How do you?
My dear friend Martin,
right. Praise God. Martin, praise God for inviting your friend. And that's what we are supposed to be, inviting a friend. When we find something good, when you go to the restaurant, you find a good food, what do? You say, man, if you want to go to a good restaurant, I have a place I can recommend to you. And our church is like a restaurant that we need to invite people. If you love this church, we need to invite our friend. Amen?
Amen.
So thank you, Martin. Thank you for inviting your friend. And those of you who have been here the second, the third time, I want to welcome you in a very special way. All right. This is part two of a message. The last time I was here, we talked about, what did we talk about? Anybody? What did we talk about?
One.
Don't look up there.
Don't look up there.
This is a quiz.
Mission.
Pardon me?
Mission.
Mission. What kind of mission?
Seeking the lost.
Seeking the lost. Amen. What else?
Pointing to Jesus.
What else? What else? I guess you can look up there. Badge of picture when you do good. So this is what we talked about last time. Mission focus. Keeping our eyes on God's mission. Last Sabbath, I preached in Chilliwack, the same type of sermon. And I asked this question, but before I go there, I just want to say, Deb, thank you so much for being able to play for us the piano. I know our sister Effie couldn't play. She's having some issue with her hand. Effie, thank you for the beautiful children's story. That's just powerful. You know, I was like, wow, that should be in a sermon right there. That sometimes we hold so much grudges against people or whatever. And Paul, I want to welcome you. Thank you for being here. This is the second Sabbath. Last Sabbath, you are in Chilliwack. Today, you are here. Just want to say thank you for sharing your testimony. That's the most difficult thing probably that I have never gone through that. But, you know, splitting with your, you know, spouse or going through divorce and all that, that's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. And to hear from you saying that, you know, your ex was able to open up saying, hey, you know, you need a place to put your motorcycle, you know, you can bring it over here. That is just, I mean, people don't even talk to each other. And that's a healing. And I just want to say thank you for that, because sometimes when we let go, we are actually hurting ourselves. You know, I have one of the powerful stories of Nelson Mandela. You know, he was in 20-something years in prison. And he came out of prison and he called a guy who actually put him in jail to come and officiate him being the president of South Africa. And people asked, why are you doing this? He said, well, if I don't let go, it will be the same like I'm still in prison. So I need to let that go and forgive and move forward. So that's a very powerful testimony right there. And I just want to say, let's be a people that let go of the anger. Let's not hold anyone in our heart, because that's not you. That's, let God deal with it. Amen?
Amen?
Because when we do that, we live at peace. There's joy in our heart. It's not easy. What I'm saying, I'm not saying it is easy to just let go, because we are human, especially when someone hurt you badly, cost you a life, cost you pain. That's not easy to let go like that. We'll try to revenge, we try to pay back, we try to do all that we want to do, but that's not what God wants for all of us. So, thank you for that powerful story. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. I pray that may you speak to us now. May your word flow out of my mouth, And that may your people be able to hear it. And that we will make an action plan and move forward to be on a mission field for you so that you can come and take us home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask Elder Dave if you can get one mic from here. I'm going to ask some respond from people. I would like people to respond. One of the questions I'm going to ask you, those of you who have been here a little longer in the church, you are first generation Adventists, you are born into the church, and when you became an Adventist, one of the things was that the message was what? Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. We got to be ready. So the question I'm asking you now today, why is it Jesus hasn't come back yet? Raise up your hand. Mike will give you the mic. You just say it. You don't have to preach. You just say one word. Okay.
Things are nowhere near bad enough.
Pardon?
Things in the world are nowhere near bad enough for him to come back.
Okay. That's a very good one. Things are not bad. So bad.
Pastor Kumba.
Yes.
I just watched a show on when the colonials came ashore and what they did to the natives. Mm-hmm. I would pray that God got here before the colonials got to this country. Amen. What they did to the natives is just absolutely atrocious.
Thank you. Anybody else? Why Jesus hasn't come back yet? Our brother Ron say things has not gone bad as it should be yet. Anybody else? Why Jesus hasn't come back yet?
He has time.
Raise up your hand so you can say with a mic so that everybody can hear you.
Jasmine?
Yes. Jesus has his time, and we know that he will save so many people that are not ready yet.
Okay.
And
okay. So waiting at his time. Over at the back over there, Dale. Just before I can give a chance, Dave, right?
Devin
is our new camp director who just moved into town here, and he was being a volunteer for us during camp meeting as a firefighter and things like that. So I just want to welcome you with your dear wife very much that we're glad that you are here. And he's going to be, of course, one of the person in this place. So, Devin.
Thank you. It's our unwillingness to spread his word. I mean, that's...
Okay.
That question's been answered biblically.
All right. Unwillingness for us to spread the word. Elder Gray over here, so you raising your hand?
Oh, one more.
Okay, one over there, yes. Sister, what's your name again?
Lois.
Lois, I was going to say that.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, go for it.
The Bible said this gospel of the kingdom must be preaching all the world for a witness, and okay. It's still in the process.
Okay.
And also the man of sin must come on the scene. Mm. So it's basically expectation.
All right, okay. Friends, there's no wrong or right answer here. What we are saying all makes sense. Elder Gray, I saw you raising your hand. Why Jesus haven't come back yet?
Someone has rightly said that when the character of Jesus is perfectly reproduced in his people, then he will come.
Okay.
So the problem is us.
Okay, the problem is us. Okay, all right, anybody else? Anybody else? I know, Paul, you say something last Sabbath.
They haven't found the Ark of the Covenant yet. They have to display that to the world on TV or something. They don't know.
Okay, all right. They haven't found the Ark of the Covenant yet. Okay. Wow, we have all different ideas about why Jesus hasn't come back yet. Anybody else? Last chance. Yes, Cynthia.
Jesus was born in the manger, perfect timing on God's part. Okay. I believe he has a process. Ooh. And he will come when he comes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other last person want to say something? No? Okay. The last time that we spoke here was that keeping our eyes on God's mission. We're on God's mission. And I share a few pictures here. Most of you guessed this person right. He was called Napoleon. And then we have the other people. This is, who did we say this?
Louis Braille.
Yes, Louis Braille, he discovered how to read the Bible for the blind. You know, blind people can read. He was the one who discovered that. and then many others. I don't want to go into that, but for the sake of those of you who are not here, and then we talk about this guy. Who is this guy?
Charles Darwin.
Okay, this is the father of evolution. And you know, they were all, most of these pictures I brought up, they were born at the same year. Okay, that's the point. They were all born in the same year, in 1809. Okay, Charles Darwin, the most influential scientist of the 19th century. Okay, and then we talk about some gentleman over here. His name was called Ed Allen. He's the poet. He's a storyteller, one of the greatest storyteller. This was in 1809. And then, of course, we talk about this gentleman, Oliver Wendell. He was Holmes. He was a writer and a physician who discovered and developed surgical techniques that are still used today, this gentleman. And they were all born in the same year. Okay, and then we have this gentleman. Who is that? All right. Abraham Lincoln. He was also born in the same year. But above all those years, 1809, there was one only news that stand up. It was who? Napoleon. Why? Because of the conquests. Because of what he went and conquered different places in Europe. One of those places, Austria. When he conquered, and then also he did something with a pope in that time. So he was the one who stood up. And then, of course, we talk about the Adventist message in 1863, when Adventists became established, they were focused on a mission, on a three angels message. The message of fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And then he also, the message in Revelation 14 was like, come out of her, my people. Meaning coming out of sin. And then the last one was like, Babylon is fallen and is fallen. And then, of course, the mark of the beast. That was the mission of the church. And the church was going crazy on fire for Jesus. And the message was that Jesus was coming again. Jesus was coming, and they start in a small town in Battle Creek, Michigan. And today, how many countries are Adventists? Over 200 maybe, or more than that. Thousands of people or millions of people today hear the message of Jesus' second coming. And I share with you that one of those people is myself. You know, I met Jesus under the mango tree. When a missionary brought the Advent, the three angels message under the mango tree. The message was, go there, for Jesus told his disciples, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, remember, I will be with you always, even until to the end of time. Amen. That was a message. And that message is still relevant today. That message is still working for us today. So the question is, how are we doing with that message? And the other thing that we talked about, because of this message so important, because this message is so critical, the enemy is working hard to distract us. The devil is working hard. The Bible says he's roaring like a lion looking for who to devour. He tried to close the church, but he cannot do it. The only way that he can make sure that the gospel doesn't go, that we are not busy being with friends, being busy with our neighbors, being busy with the people on the street, is to distract us. How does he distract us? He distracts us to fight over the carpet. He distracts us over the music. He distracts us over the potluck and all this. And we fight all these things, and we have no time to focus on reaching out. Now, what I'm saying here is, I'm not playing down the importance of keeping our carpet clean, the importance of making sure our building is clean, the importance of that making sure that what we eat is healthy. I'm not playing down on that. But the problem is, most of the time it happened, the enemy tried to use that as a distraction, that we focus on that thing. So Jesus is asking you and I to go, therefore, and make disciples of how many nations? All nations. You know, Canada is a great country. It's a beautiful place. You don't need to go anywhere to find people from another country. If you want to find people from South Sudan, where that country is right here, standing in front of you. And you don't even, where is that country anyway? How big is the country? What kind of food do people eat in those countries? If I can actually give you some homework and do some research on, you know, Pastor Kumi is from South Sudan. What does South Sudan look like? What do they eat? What do they grow? What kind of things are there? What kind of culture are those people? I think do some research and you will be amazed to see that, wow, I don't have to go far away. This guy is right here in front of us. So God asked all of us to go into all the world. Now the world is right here in Canada. You can find people from all over the world who are living right here. Amen? 20 years ago, or maybe 50 years ago, it was not like that. But now, we are a country in the country. Countries in the country. And how did that happen? I don't know. God knows. And so this is a mission field for you and I. And so today we're going to be talking on part two. Part two, because we talk about, you know, this is, I know my friend Bernard, you know, last Sabbath we talked about, the Sabbath before, about the, you know, World Cup and things like that. How many of you, I asked this question, how many of you do some sort of a sport when you're a kid? Raise up your hand. If you play some sport as you were a kid, okay? Now you become a teenager, did you play any sport? Anybody else? You were a teenager, okay. Become adult. How many of you play some sport? Okay. How many of you watch some sport? Let's be honest. I'm not going to beat to your head. No, I'm not going to do that. All right? See, I came from a country that soccer or football is the main sport. As I grew up as a little child, we did not have the real ball. You know, we type plastic bags together and socks that are kind of tear down, we tie it with a rope and fill the stuff inside and flip it around and then make it sure it become like a ball, brother Ron, and then we kick it for 5 minutes, it is all destroyed, and then we have to make it over again. So it is in the blood. We play with barefoot. There's no shoes. We play on the rock. It's not even on the grass. And we are dirty feet. And we sweat. It's just exciting. And so to take that out from my mind is so hard. Just like many of you who grow with hockey or football that you call here. So why I'm saying this, you know, when they are playing this World Cup, there's one very small country. It's called Côte d'Ivoire. Those of you who watch soccer, you know what I'm talking about. Côte d'Ivoire is a very tiny country, a kind of an island between Africa and where is another place? Yeah, anyway. Very tiny country, but the way how they played, they almost beat Argentina. They almost beat Messi. Those of you who know soccer. Ronaldo, Messi, and many others. And that small country went all the way to the number 33. Others were kicked out without even, you know, one or two games done. The reason why I'm saying this country was focused on why they want to play soccer. They were focused. They want to show the world that they can play. And indeed, they did well. They were not saying, you know what, we're a small country. I don't think we will ever qualify to be in the World Cup. Oh, we are very tiny. Our economy is so bad. But no. They say, we are going to the World Cup. And they made it to the World Cup. And they played again. They almost beat what they called the top world player who have even got the World Cup, but they play them. Why am I saying this? We may be a very small church, my brothers and sisters. We are a believing church. There's nothing small for God. Amen?
Amen.
No matter how small we are, God can use us. What he's looking for those who are faithful to follow him. Don't worry about it. I'm just going to part two of the sermon so that we can move from here. Part one, we talk about God has called his church to stay focused on a mission. A church is not a building, okay? A church is not a building. It is you and me. It is you and me. He has called us to focus on a mission. Amen? Part two, we're going to look at removing obstacles to God's mission. What keeps us from fulfilling God's mission? What is keeping us from fulfilling God's mission? Anybody? Can help us with the mic, because this is not a sermon I'm going to preach that you listen. I want to hear from you what you think. Brother Dave, what do you think is keeping us from fulfilling God's mission? I hear from you the reason why Jesus didn't come back yet, because his character is not been fulfilling us. I hear that the gospel has not been reached to the world. But the question is, what is keeping us from fulfilling the God's mission? Raise up your hand. Don't be afraid. Anybody? What are the obstacles? I'm getting hot. Yes. Thank you, Ron.
Direction.
Okay, direction.
We need more direction of what we should be doing.
Okay, amen.
Specific direction.
Yes.
I've suggested that
yes.
We put an ad in the paper.
Right.
Saying certain things in the paper. Discussed,
yes.
And continue with that. And
amen.
As we get closer to the potluck.
Yes.
Was in that ad. We have
potluck.
And offer the gentleness and kindness of God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? What keeps us from fulfilling God's mission?
Fear of rejection.
Fear of rejection. Ooh la la. Okay. Have you been looking at my notes? No, just kidding. Anybody else? That's a beautiful one. Fear of rejection. One of the obstacles that is keeping us from accomplishing the mission is fear of rejection. The other thing is direction. We don't know where do we go. Yes, Cynthia.
Well, I'm not going to completely answer it, but
yeah.
I can't completely answer it.
Right.
But one of the obstacles is lack of respect for people's talents. And there is a problem
yes.
with the definition of what unity means in the church.
Right.
We're also bombarded by the Canadian culture of passivity
mm-hmm.
and lukewarmness. But
lukewarmness.
The biggest factor might be, if we look at the gospel of Jesus Christ and how Jesus conducted himself, is fear of change.
Right.
Because if we... participating with Church in the Valley church building, I really noticed there were meetings,
mm-hmm.
there was planning,
right.
there was vision planning,
right.
but there was pretty decent respect for people's talents,
amen.
And not everybody can lead.
Amen.
And sometimes, I think part of the problem is we haven't studied the Bible deep enough to know what the steps are.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those steps, believe it or not, is committees. That doesn't mean the committee runs the show,
yes.
but it helps the leader formulate a plan and prayer. It's a huge, huge topic.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that. Thank you, Cynthia. How about sister at the back over there? Okay, and then we have James. James over here, the young boy. Wow. I'm so excited. How old are you, James? You're 7, right? 6'7", yes.
What to say? And what to say when you see somebody, how do you...
Yes, the obstacle, what to say.
Them?
Right. Okay, thank you. We don't know what to say. Little young man over here, James. He's 6'7". James, right? You're 6'7"? What do you think is the obstacle, James? What keeps us fulfilling God's mission? Go ahead.
Priorities.
Priorities, wow.
Priorities, good.
Wow. Man, we're going to put you on the committee. Okay? Priorities. Yes. Anybody else? What is keeping us from fulfilling God's mission? Guys, friends, this is very powerful. We are talking about focus on mission. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, Brother Stephen just read, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our sin." Can someone read that? Let's read it again, please. Hebrews chapter 12. "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Amen. Amen. The writer of Hebrews is telling you and I, brothers and sisters, that we need to remove the obstacle that is hindering us. What are those obstacles? What are they? In this verse, what is the obstacle? Come on, it's right there. Sin. Sin is the major obstacle for the gospel, for the mission of the church. This is what it looked like. The Bible teaches that Satan cannot stop God's mission, but he often tries to distract God's people. Number one, sin is the greatest obstacle to mission. Isaiah 59 verse 1 to 2. Can someone read that for us? I know this is written here, but I want you to read from a different version. Somebody to read. What does it say? Isaiah 59 verse 1 to 2. Book of Isaiah 59. Anybody find it?
"Behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear."
Yes. So what separates us from God? Sin. Sin separates us from God and weakens our witnesses. Hidden sin, pride, unforgiveness, jealousy, and selfish ambition hinder the work of the Holy Spirit in each one of us. Before God can work through us, he must work within us. Application. Ask God today to search your own heart and remove anything that stands between you and God. Book of Ezekiel says, "Search me, O Lord, and find in me if there's any iniquity. Remove it." Sin is like cancer. Sin is a cancer today. It eats us up. It eats you and I up. Sin separates us from God, and it distracts us from the mission that God has called us, from the witnesses. Before God can work through us, he must work within us. That's sin number two. Obstacle number two. Disunity weakens the church witness. Disunity. John chapter 17, 20 to 23. Jesus prayed about his followers to be united. "Father, I pray that they may be one as you and I are one." This is one of the Satan's tools to create disunity. When we come to church, we try to look at each other differently. Jesus prayed that his followers would be one so that the world would believe. Unity does not mean everyone thinks the same.
Amen.
Many times we think that unity, oh, we got to be thinking the same. No, that's not biblical. but that everyone is united in Christ and committed to his mission. A united church has a powerful witness. A divided church loses credibility in the community. A divided church loses credibility in the neighborhood. A divided church lost credibility to be a witness. A divided church lost focus on the mission because we focus on pointing fingers. Number three, sister, I'm coming to you. Fear keep us silent. Fear keep us silent. Fear is one of the major obstacles for the mission to be accomplished. 2 Timothy 1:7. Let's read that. What does it say? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Paul was writing to a young man, Timothy. As he was coming into the ministry, he told him, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, talking about fear, I don't know how about you. Fear is one of the things that is destroy us. We are afraid of stepping out. We are afraid of change because we are ingrained in tradition. You know, last Tuesday, we were reading in the book of Matthew with our study group at Camp Hope. They talk about Jesus, and then they're accusing Jesus of breaking the traditions of the elders. Lord Jesus, you know that you're breaking. The disciple came to him and said, "Lord, you know what? You offended the leaders of the congregation. You offended them by breaking the tradition." They accused Jesus of breaking the tradition. And we as a church, we are ingrained in tradition. Some of the things we are doing is a structure of the program, which we can be flexible in switching it around. But because of tradition, we are ingrained in that. Oh, no, no, we have been doing this, so we have to do the same. And that stifle growth, that hinder witnessing, that hinder the mission, that destroy the mission because we are focused on tradition.
And, is good enough.
Okay, can you read for us, please? Yes.
"Be thou not therefore ashamed of the testimony of Christ."
Yes. "My said, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." Talking about the power of God, power comes with love. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Many believers hesitate to share their faith because they have fear of rejection or failure. How many of you love rejection? Anybody here love, "Oh, I love rejection. Rejection is good." No! Rejection is the most terrible things. You know, I used to, when I was in Khartoum, before South Sudan became a country, we were one country, big country. So in Khartoum, we have about 80% of the population were Muslim. Okay? And we have churches there. And then I'm in Khartoum, I try to make some money. We have our field office, which have a publishing department where they produce this literature, Great Controversy, and we have my medical guide and all other books, children's story. They're all translated from English into Arabic. So I have to learn to memorize some of those things in order to go and sell them to our brothers, the Muslim. We are going to different offices, to homes. And the good thing, I speak Arabic, so we have to knock at the door. First thing, when you knock the door, what you do, you have the heartbeat. It's like almost you're going to faint. That's fear. Especially when you don't speak the language very well. And plus, you look so different. Plus, you are a Christian. You are witnessing to a Muslim. And some of this literature translated from English into Arabic and have the biblical context into it, you know, where you're ministering. And so going there, one of the things was fear. I was shaky, sweaty, and all this, afraid to knock at a door, afraid of talking to these people. But then when God used me, I spoke the language. He used me, I spoke. When those books are all sold, big smile. You know, I come up with an empty briefcase full of money, of book sales. But then the next day you go, you don't know it. The other day you come, the books are full. The briefcase is full of books. Fear. And then you're afraid to go next time. Oh, the other people will, oh, no, go away. Do you think you want to go back again? No. Rejection is one of the worst things. You know, God calls us to faithfulness, not perfection. Amen? God is calling you and I for faithfulness, not perfection. Sometimes we wait until when we're perfect to go out. No, that will not ever happen. We wait for that. He's waiting for you and me to be faithful to him. Number four, keeping our eyes on Jesus. If our mission, we focus our mission on Jesus, everything will go well. But the moment we started focusing on me and myself, my education, my background, my skills, what I can do, what I can't do, then we are failing. Peter saw Jesus in the boat. And he looked at Jesus, Lord, if it is you, can you please tell me to come to you? And Jesus said, yeah, come, Peter. By faith, he just went forward. But then he started saying, oh man, this is looking good. I can walk on the water. Pride came in. Cockiness started, oh, I can walk on the water. And he started looking back. What happened? He started drowning. Oh, Lord, help me. Jesus had to reach his hand and pull us out. Pride is the one killing us. The church stays on mission by continually looking to Jesus. Jesus is our example. Jesus is our strength. Jesus is our message. Jesus is our hope. When we focus on Christ, mission becomes a joyful privilege rather than a burden. Amen? When we focus on Jesus, mission becomes joyful. I love the song that we rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, 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 and again I say rejoice. Brother Ron was here, Pastor. He looked like we are so lukewarm when we sing. It feels like we're in the funeral. Why can't we just sing with joy? Why can't we move our bodies? Why can't we excite? And the reason why that sometimes because of tradition also. Because our tradition has been, okay, you've got to be like this, you've got to be like this. Amen? The book of Psalm 150 says, David was singing. He said, praise the Lord with all the trumpet, with dance, and with music, with drums. Now, I'm not talking about the drums of the world. Let me tell you sincerely, God has given everything for us to use to give glory to him. But Satan also used the same instrument to bring glory to him. Amen? Our phones been invented. We are using them. We can use it for a good purpose. Our computers. We can use them to develop, create things. We can also use it to destroy things. We can use it to watch pornography. We can use it to send messages that put people down. We can use it for anything, even the food. God has created the food for us to eat. The devil came in. He said, oh yeah, you can eat this. You can. So what I'm saying is here, we cannot generalize that there's one particular instrument that we can't play because it's of the devil. No, the devil had never created anything. He created nothing. He uses what God created to bring glory to him and also to create destruction, to distract us. So, Brother Ron, I agree with you. We need to be a little bit lively. When we sing, let's sing with all our heart. Let's sing with joy because our God is a joyful God. Amen?
Amen.
When we focus on Christ, mission becomes a joyful privilege rather than a burden. I'm almost finishing. The Spirit of Prophecy by Ellen G. White, the Minister of Healing, page 512 says, nothing is more needed in the world than the practical results of communion with God. In order to accomplish the mission of God, communion with God must be number one. Our relationship with God, priority. Before you go out, before you and I go out, we need to put God first. Christ's object lesson, page 115, says, the last message of mercy to be given to the world is a revelation of his character of love. In this church, we have loving God, loving people. Do we mean it? Do we really mean it? That's a question I'm asking for each one of us individually. When we say loving people, yes, it's easy to love God because, but loving people is the hardest thing. The hardest thing. Because sometimes our love is conditional. Yeah, if they come to church, you know, they have to be like this. You know, if I want to, I got to be like this. It's conditional. God's love is not conditional. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, you and I, it's hard to love the unlovable. It's hard to love those who are drug addicts.
No, it's not.
I know it's not, but what I'm saying is here, we want to change them. And for other people, they can't even go close. I know it's not. I agree with you, but that is you because you have some experience with those people. You love them unconditionally. The people who cannot even go on the street. Right?
Yeah.
Yes, it is not. I agree with you, brother. But the last message of mercy to be given to the world is a revelation of his character of love. Elder Gray, you mentioned that until his character is revealed in us, that's when Jesus comes. What character? The character of love. The character of love. And when we have the character of love, then we are perfected in him. We are perfected in love. Friends, as we are coming to a close, mission focus. Our mission is not only to preach truth. I repeat this again. Our mission is not only to preach the truth, but also to reveal Christ's love in our lives. You know, sometimes we say we have truth. Yeah, we got to tell the truth. We got to tell them the truth. Truth without love is meaningless. Truth without love is useless. Nobody will want to listen to you. Because you're telling this truth that you think that is truth. But truth must be in love. Amen? I don't hear amen. That means you disagree with me maybe. These are some practical things that I would like you and I to look into. Practical application for all of us. Number one, or point one, spend time with Jesus every day in prayer and Bible study. If we want to be a mission minded, we need to spend time with Jesus in prayer and study. And I want to say thank you, Irene, Elder Gray, and whoever opening your homes. Opening your home for studies. Now, I'm not saying open all your homes for a study. But those places that are open for studies, let's join together. Because that's the way we can be a beacon in the community. Spending time with Jesus every day in prayer and Bible study. Forgive those who have hurt you. Oh, hard one. Seek reconciliation where possible. Reconciliation. That's a big one. What happens when people don't want to reconcile? Share your testimony with someone this week. Share your testimony. Not about your trial. Share your testimony of the goodness of God. Amen? Amen. Share what God is doing in your life. of what God has done in your life. Testimony. Nobody will dispute that, because that's your story. You remember reading from the Bible, they may not, I don't know, but when you share them, your testimony, your story, nobody can take that. Because that's a power. Ask, how can I help advance God's mission? That comes to what my brother Ron was saying. Direction. Talk to the elders here. How can I help? How can I be a part of this mission? How can I help to reach out to the community? One of the things that Elder Dave, would you like to, can you grab me one loaf of bread, please? This is some other practical thing that all of us can do. Just one loaf of bread. As he's coming to grab that loaf of bread, as we are coming to a close, is that some other thing that most people came to Christ through some literature. You may not even be able to go out. We have all these beautiful tracks. We have this depression, the way out, you know, this glow. These are very powerful. Just go around even a shopping store or whatever. Give it to the cashier. Say, hey, something here for you to read. Just a gift for you. Walk on the street. Share something with someone. You never know. Let's not make excuses. Oh, I tried it, doesn't work. There's something like Judgment Day. There's people who are looking where this world is really going. Is there something bad going to happen? People are searching, sharing small tract like this. One of the great books is, of course, The Great Controversy. These are all books to be given away. You never know where it goes. If they say no, that's okay. But okay, of course, fear of rejection. When someone say no, we don't want to go and do that again. Another beautiful book. I think this year they're planning, or next year they're planning this book to be a book to be distributed, Desire of Age. Powerful, powerful book about the life of Jesus. This is a book you can share. Have them in your car. We have plenty of them. Put them in your car anywhere you go. Maybe you just say, hey, I have a book here. I just want to give you as a gift. The problem, sometimes we try to distribute going door to door. Sometimes it doesn't work.
You're on a motorcycle.
And sometimes, yeah.
Everybody talks to you when you're on a motorbike.
Exactly, right. Take someone.
I keep a bunch of me and tell you, people always are picking up a conversation.
Absolutely. So this, the book, carry with, this is a witnessing, my friends. The next one is This Step to Christ. Very beautiful booklet. This is the one. Elder Dave, can you bring me one of those loaf of bread? Just one right now. We started this 2 years or maybe 3 years ago. I talked to Elder Dave. I said, hey, let's get some bread. And we have been getting this beautiful, amazing bread from Silver Hill. This bread, you can find in the superstore or Save on Food. How much is it? Is it?
Seven.
I was going to say $3. You will be like, where did I come from? And this bread, we are getting how many boxes a week, Elder Dave? Or how many loaves of bread?
They give us 30 boxes of bread, eight loaves per box.
Eight loaves per box. And you know, how did we start this? We say we want to use this as a ministry. Using it as an act of kindness to reach to the community. And we decided that every member, at least every Sabbath, we ask you to take two, one for yourself, one for your neighbor. Or you take four. You can keep one for yourself and share with your neighbor.
We'll take one. Johnny's hungry right now.
Oh, Johnny, you can have this one. You can have this one, my friend. This is for you.
Okay?
Amen. So this is one other project that we can reach out to the community, use our bread ministry. So I want to emphasize this bread ministry. We want really to expand it. We want to say to you, this bread is for you to share. You can take some for yourself, but the goal is to share with your neighbor. And then next time you bring to the next neighbor, to the next neighbor, you never know how far can that go.
Amen.
$7 you're giving away to somebody. $7. You didn't spend. It's not from your wallet. It's not from your pocket. It's not from your bank account. But it's just here to give it away. So I encourage all of us, let's use this opportunity to reach out, to give this bread as an act of kindness to someone to share the love of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
As I finish, where did I put my glasses now? Oh, right. See, because I can't see, right? Okay, as we, an appeal for all of us. God is looking for people, for men and women who are willing to say, here I am, send me. Will you and I remove the obstacles that hinder you or me walk with Christ? Will you commit yourself to God's mission with your whole heart? Is there anyone who say, Pastor, yes, I want to be a part of that. Amen? Amen? In the book of Isaiah, prophet Isaiah was asking God, God was asking, who should I send? Where should I go? And Isaiah responded, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, will you remove the obstacle that hinder your walk with Christ? And Isaiah says, here I am, Lord, send me. And I hope, my dear brothers and sisters, you and I will respond, God, here we are, send us. Here, send us in this community so that you can come and take us home. Will you? I want to be a part of that. I want Jesus to come again. But Jesus will not come until the gospel is reached throughout the world. Because that's why I say, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. There's millions still who have not yet heard the gospel of Jesus. And with the technology that is happening right now, believe me, I think it looks like almost the gospel is going to be finished soon. Amen?
Amen.
How many of you ever have watched some preaching and then you find that this preaching, one sermon has been translated over 20 languages? You see, some of you probably anti-technology or social media. But I'm going to ask you, pray for it. Because God has allowed this technology, social media, to come as a result of the gospel to be finished. We can use anything for bad or we can use it for good. Why am I saying this? When AI came out, and it still right now is going like fire, we were watching one of the videos by Doug Batchelor. How many of you know Doug Batchelor? Amazing, amazing facts. He's a great preacher. He was preaching in English, and the message that he was preaching was translated in different languages through AI. He was preaching, you can see him talking, and so he's preaching in Russian, he's preaching in Chinese, he's preaching in Arabic, he's preaching in Korean, he's preaching to all these languages. Could you imagine if this is sent to this part of the world? It's going to change the entire world. So friends, we are living, I don't want to say Jesus is almost coming, because we have been talking about it for many, 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 many years. And Elder Gray, when you were probably born, they were talking about Jesus coming. And you probably thought that Jesus is going to come in your time. Sister Elizabeth, you probably, when you were coming Adventist, you thought that he was going to come in your time. And probably we are still waiting that he's going to come in our time. But Jesus has not come yet. Why? Why? And sometimes people get discouraged. Say, I think this thing about Jesus coming, oh, forget about it. But let me assure you that Jesus is coming. But he's not going to come on my term. He's not going to come on your term. He's going to come on his term. Amen? He's going to come when the gospel is reached to the entire world and everybody know Jesus is coming, then he will come. Then you and I will be ready. So, with that in mind, as we are closing, with this song, this beautiful song. The song, Hark the Voice of Jesus is Calling. Who will go for me? That was the song that we sing. Hark the Voice of Jesus is Calling. If you cannot preach like Paul, if you cannot sing like David, you cannot do all of this like other, but you can. You can. You can. We can. Have an act of kindness. We can spread the love of Jesus. You don't have to go anywhere and preach. But when we live the life of loving people like God loved them, you and I can be a witness and Jesus can come take us home. Amen. So may we all stand up as we sing our closing hymn, Rescue the Perishing. 367. Hymn number 367. As the song says, rescuing the perishing. Friends, brothers and sisters, there are many people who are perishing in this world and waiting for you and for me to rescue them, to bring the good tidings, to bring the good news of Jesus, so that when they perish, when they die, let them die in Jesus, so that when they come, when Jesus comes, you and I can join together. That's my prayer for you. So, Father, may you remove every obstacle that keep us from fulfilling your mission. Cleanse us from our sin. Unite us in love, Father. Fill us with the Holy Spirit and help us faithfully proclaim the everlasting gospel. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus until he comes again. In his name we pray now and forever. And may you be with us, Father, until we meet again. And if we can meet again in this world, my prayer is that we will meet at the feet of Jesus. When he comes in that morning, when the trumpet will shout, and the dead in Christ will rise again, and those who are alive will be changed in the blinking of an eye. Lord, we look forward for that. May your peace be with each one of us until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray, everybody say,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sabbath, and we will see you at Camp Hope in a gathering like this. I will be around, but Camp Hope is coming, and we're looking forward on the 24th that we will be fellowshipping together. Thank you.